Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Von Hessler Doctrine podcast. Remember, you can hear the show every weekday from 9 to noon right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. Hour one of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. I am your lovable, for the time being, not so huggable mid-morning chat host, Eric Von Hessler. The other voices you hear are the doctrinaires. Man of a thousand voices, Tim Andrews. Lady of quite a few voices in her own right, Autumn Fisher. And the handsomest producer in all of producery, Jared Yamamoto.
Hey guys, it's National Tell a Fairy Tale Day.
Oh, well, it was, who cares?
We're doing fine, everybody. Yeah, good America's back.
It's a fairy tale. We're doing great now. Here's a fairy tale. No need for any hard-hitting reportage. Not with this new administration. There's a fairy tale. Yeah. How about that one? Things have never been better in the history of the world because the smartest people in the world are now running the country. There's a nice fairy tale. Better than Snow White. Now, the other fairy tale is the worst. It's not the worst either. It's just that it'd be nice if reporters just kind of treated them all the same. Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Wouldn't it be cool if they just... What was it the Pittsburgh Steelers coach said, we don't see people on the other side. We see nameless gray faces. That's what reporters should see. Is that a politician? I see a nameless gray face. I don't even know what party that person's with. I'm just going to cover them all exactly the same. Same standards, same questions, all of that. Same concerns as a human being who is a reporter, applied evenly to all. But I'm like creating a fairy tale. Probably never.
Yes, you are.
Never existed in reality and never will exist.
Yeah, but I can't meet Tom Hanks that way.
Well, exactly. If I want to meet Tom Hanks, I better really, really, really lie about Gina Carano so that People Weekly or whatever. She's dangerous. Anyway, let's not start things off on a negative note. What's the right word? Befuddled is not the right word. Bemused? I don't know. Some of the stories that are in the news cycle today, the things that everybody else is jumping on are not the things that stand out to me for some reason. The Lady Gaga dog story. Has anybody noticed that the human being who got shot appears to be an afterthought in this story? It's like the last thing. This dude was shot. And the dogs were stolen. I guess there were three dogs. Two got stolen. One ran away and was found later. And all the coverage seems to be about the dogs. And Lady Gaga immediately, $500,000 reward, no questions asked. That's how much I love my dogs. $500,000, no questions asked. You know what? I've got one very interesting question. Did you shoot my friend?
Seriously.
It's a very weird story to me where the human being who was shot is like the fourth thing of interest in this story. It's bizarre.
Good Morning America was bringing up the breeds of the dog and how expensive they are. And then it was like, well, what about the person? You're right. It's like, what? Oh.
Yeah, he's all right. Let's just talk about these dogs.
What in the world?
Four times?
Yeah, we do. Well, I heard four. I think he took one bullet. That's the last that I saw.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Shot at four times.
Yeah, I think that there were more shots. And you know, in the beginning, when this stuff goes on, there's a lot of eyewitness stuff. I may be wrong here, but the last that I could pinpoint, the human being, the element of the story that no one seems to care about, I believe he took one bullet, I think.
Like a shot in the chest.
Okay. So, but it's always...
No big deal.
It is bizarre to me that Lady Gaga would say $500,000 reward if you have information that leads to my dogs getting back to me. No questions asked. I'm assuming that this dog walker is a friend. Right, they walk your dogs every day. You know them, right? So you don't have people that you don't like doing that.
Sure.
It wasn't a dog walking service. It's somebody that she knows who walks her dogs.
She uses Rover.
$500,000, no questions asked. And yet immediately I thought of one good question. Did you shoot my friend? It's bizarre.
He's quoted as saying he would literally lay down his life for the dogs he cared for.
Okay, well, you know what? Good for him. Look, he's a dog walker, right? He loves dogs. Yeah. He loves animals. It takes all kinds. That's fine for him to say that. I don't understand the coverage where the human being who was shot is an afterthought. Oh, the dogs. Don't get me wrong. I wish no harm to the dogs. But it just seems odd to me. No questions asked. Hey, I don't care. You can go shoot other people. Just return my dogs. Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. And then the other thing that we're supposed to talk about today, manufactured by wherever the news cycle is manufactured, is, we're going to have voices on to tell you whether or not it's more political correctness from the Mr. Potato Head people.
Yeah.
And then there's something else that I noticed. I remember a lot of Mr. Potato Head, because if you don't know, there was a story out there that it's going gender neutral. Then I woke up this morning and I heard, no, there's still going to be Mr. and Mrs. I don't know what the truth is. It sounds like something that these Peter principled CEOs in corporate America right now would do. Have a meeting. I think that right now, Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, that's very exclusionary. And I say, yes.
What can we do to keep
people.
Our jobs?
Yeah, but I mean, is it really about that? How about nobody? Let's wait until somebody complains. But we want to get ahead of it. We want to. Nobody's even thought about Mr. Potato Head in how long. But I decided to go back and try to find some of these commercials. And then I found one of the first ones. This is even before I was born, I think. Did you know that Mr. Potato Head, and it was Mr. and Mrs., I think, right from the very beginning.
Oh.
They're a family couple.
They were in love.
Good couple.
I'd like to see the prequel to Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. The Spuds.
In the beginning, they were, you didn't get the, you actually used your potato. That was the idea. All you got with these was the plastic eyes and nose, and you would stick them into a
they
real
were metal.
Potato. Yeah, you
My
would stick them.
My family couldn't afford potatoes, so we tried to use rocks, but it didn't work.
Didn't work. So then later it became the plastic potato plus the things that that you
with
put
the
in.
Depression.
But I found a commercial from I think 1960 or early 60s. Do you have that one? And again, much like the. Lady Gaga dog story, something jumped out at me that has nothing to do with whether or not, you know, it's politically correct. Or I don't give a damn what the Potato Head people do. And you know what? No matter what MSNBC and Fox News feed to you today, neither do you. You don't give a damn what the Potato Head people do. But, yeah, you know, we're not going to talk about $27 trillion in debt, so we got to give you a bunch of crap every day to argue about so that you can not notice the man behind the curtain. So go ahead and play this, and I'll tell you what jumped out at me.
Hey, it's Hasbro. Hasbro makes toys. What's new, Hasbro?
Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head with their own cars and trailers. That's what's new. See, Mr. Potato Head has a car and boat trailer. And there's a car and shopping trailer for his wife, Mrs. Potato Head.
Stop. What's that? What the hell is a shopping trailer? I have never heard...
Bring home all the groceries she has to go buy.
Did women used to have? Is that how much did people eat in 1962? did you really take a trailer to the store? Oh, mom's taking the shopping trailer.
People used to have a lot more kids.
A trailer?
Yeah.
What is this, like a U-Haul? Hey, yeah. Fill it up.
Hey, maybe it was a regional thing. You know how, like, out in the South, we call it a buggy. Some people call it a cart. Maybe it was called a trailer out west or something like that, you know?
They didn't have trunks in their cars back then? I don't understand. Why do you hooked something up to your car? Don't you think of a trailer as something you hook up to something else and you pull it? A trailer, let's decide right here. A trailer,
it
does not have an engine. It has no power of propulsion, right? It has to be pulled by something. Yes, it trails behind. So are you telling me that there was a time in this country where women hooked a trailer up to their car, went to the store, and filled the trailer full of goods, and then brought it home? What the hell is a shopping trailer? I've never heard of that in my entire life.
It's a wagon that they brought home goods and stores in.
Wait a minute. A wagon, like a little red wagon, like you walk around with? Okay, so she didn't hook it to the car. Okay,
it's not
now
like a tractor
I'm getting
trailer.
Okay, so what you say? And I was thinking like a boat trailer because they mentioned boats for Mr. Potato Head. Of course, you know, on the weekends when he's done with his 9 to 5, Mr. Potato Head goes out. He takes the boat out while Mrs. Potato Head shops.
When
shops
I get home Sunday, you better have all the groceries in your wagon.
You lost your ear again, Mr. Potato Head.
Okay, now I get it. So really, if they would have said wagon, I would have understood. So she's walking to the neighborhood store.
Well, it does.
She has a wagon, right?
Yeah. It attaches to her car, but it looks like a wagon.
Oh, no. No, see, now we're getting back into something else now. Now, so you're saying she did have to attach it to her car.
They didn't walk to the food forest, guys?
A shopping, we weren't that enlightened.
Sustainable food wagons back then.
So you're saying, believe it, they did hook it up to the car.
Yeah, they both had cars.
There were no trunks. There were no trunks to
put groceries in. They let her drive?
Well, that's
unacceptable.
Hey, look, Mr. Potato Head, you know, he's off boating and fishing and doing what Mr. Potato Heads do on the weekend. She has to be able to drive in order to go to the store. Don't you understand how this is done, Autumn Fisher? We'll be back.
Get your daily dose of comic relief with Eric Von Hessler mornings at 9. Then shake off the daily stress.
And it's gonna be all right.
With Mark Arum weeknights at 6 on 95.5 WSB.
I want to be in a fun mood, but I find that I'm a little bit grumpy. I go back and forth day to day with the idiotic nature of the country we live in right now. And is everybody dumb? Is everybody dumb? It's like David Lynch used to call it the Einstein dilemma. Everybody else is an effing moron. And I know that can't be true. I know I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I do look around left, right, center, reporters, activists, celebrities. No one seems to get the point. There isn't anything genuine going on. Everything that is presented to me as a slam dunk mic drop, I'm like, nah, I don't see that. No, I still have questions. I'm sorry. The old-fashioned way of logic and reason, nothing against emotions. They have their place in love and things like that. There are things that I would do with emotion. There are things that I will overlook, flaws with loved ones. Things like that. Emotions are important. I don't want to live a clinical life without emotions. But it seems to me that everything is being driven right now by social media. And am I wrong? That can't be good.
No.
That cannot. Every story, every reaction to the story. Why do I have to sit everybody down and just explain what Daisy Ridley thinks of Ted Cruz is of no consequence? And what Ted Cruz thinks of Daisy Ridley is of no consequence. Yet these things, everything goes to personality, and it's making me grumpy. Some days I just find it to be so ridiculous, it's a laugh. And then other times I go, wow, man, is it possible if the pendulum swings so far in the direction of stupidity, is there a point where it can't swing back because there's no wherewithal intellectual? It just gets stuck there because there's no way. Maybe it'll just swing back and people will, you know. I won't get too deep into this, but I will just say I've been trying to ignore. I try to ignore documentaries, right? I'm assuming I will just assume that Britney Spears' father cares for her more than someone who's never met her on social media. That's how my brain works, right? Some people who don't know this person do not care for her more than her own family, and she has real problems. We've seen that. There's been evidence of that. So, or the other way to look at it is, man, if her family's not there for her, there's no hope. Because yeah. in my family, I have seen mental illness, and I know what it is. And it's not something you can buy a Hallmark card and send to somebody and fix. You want to help in that situation? Clear your calendar. It's going to be a couple of tough years. And usually only really close family and friends can give that kind of attention. So I've ignored that one because it's all the conversation about it is just ridiculous. I've been trying to avoid Pharaoh versus Allen on HBO. It's impossible to avoid because we have a generation now who believes that if they see a documentary, they know what the hell they're talking about on any given situation. So on the grumpy side of me just wants to say something, and I'm going to get off this because it's a very troubling, it's a troubling conversation. And we all know that what was alleged that Woody Allen did in that situation, we all know that that happens in this world, and it happens way too much in this world. And the whole thing is set up so that if you dare look at the other side, you are somehow willing to look away from the horror that takes place in this world, given, you know, the allegations, child molestation. It's insane the number of incidents of that. And there are, by the way, there are full-on cultures on this planet that still don't see it as the problem that it should be seen as. All of that being said, the case of child molestation against Woody Allen, to call it paper thin is an insult to paper and measurements. It's beyond paper thin. I wasn't there. No one listening to me was there, unless somebody there was there happens to be listening to me. We weren't there. This is how it goes. This is how it goes. If there are allegations and no one was there, then all we can do is look at the allegations and then match the set of facts to the allegations and then come to our own conclusions. It's a hell of a thing to accuse somebody of that. And if they did it, then they deserve every damn thing that falls down on them for it. But there seems to be just a very trivial thing, something weird going on with this generation of 30-somethings, where they just don't, I don't even have to look into it or think about it. Let me tell you something. The TLDR generation should not be able to point to people and call them child molesters. Because they're not even willing. When I was growing up, there was no such thing as TLDR, too long, didn't read. You damn well better sit down, brew some coffee, and be willing to go 25 pages deep before you're willing to destroy somebody. But I will tell you this, and I don't care what anybody says. I was a fan in the 70s, so when all this happened, I followed it very closely. The case, the allegations against Woody Allen are paper thin. I can only use that term because I can't think of anything less, but that's still too much. It's as close to no case when it comes to the facts as possible, but that doesn't matter. Because this generation of morons have just decided, no, we've decided that he's that. I saw a documentary. Let's go have avocado toast. It's really a shame. You see, it's gotten me grumpy because I don't think that there's... Does this generation, you know, who's canceling everybody and calling people names and deciding they know what other people with facts don't know and they're smarter, are they really so sure that that dagger is never going to be turned around and aimed at them? Because you might be in search of a little fair play when that happens. You know, when you're on the radio, popular medium, you do have to think about what you're going to say, how you're going to say it. how people are going to react. And how people react has a lot to do with, you know, what's their, what are they reading? What's their steady supply? What are they watching? How are they perceiving the world? Because people get ideas in their head and they get mad at you if you challenge them, which is no way to live. That's not a way to live. I don't care if you're on the left or you're on the right. You should seek ideas that challenge what you think is the truth or things that you believe are true. You should seek that out. You live in a country, at least for a little while here, where you're allowed to do that. A lot of countries, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to seek the truth in North Korea. You're not allowed to seek the truth in China, in Iran. You're not allowed to seek the truth. I mean, you can, depending on what system you're a part of, you can seek a little bit of it up to a certain point. But the problem with living in places like that is you have these sort of intellectual springs, and they're the most dangerous thing in the world, because for 10 years the government decides to allow you to think what you want, and you start publishing things, and then on the 11th year a new government comes into power and decides to retroactively brand you a traitor or something, and then you're, you know, if you're lucky you go to jail, and if you're unlucky you you get executed or something. And this is what a lot of people who have lived and died on this planet, maybe most, have lived under. And you live in a country, if you're listening to me, in America, where you still have the ability to actually be curious about things and learn about things, but you need to be open to the idea that there's another side. There is a pushback. Being open to it, by the way, does not make you intellectually weak. Iron sharpens iron. If somebody who is very good at making an argument makes an argument against your argument, that forces you to get better at backing up your argument. And if you look through the whole thing and actually come out still believing what you went in believing, then you now are better at actually making your point. And it's important that we stay with reason and logic. Like I said before, it's not to say we should be androids. Emotions have their place. They're very important in certain places. We all set aside logic sometimes when it comes to our closest friends and family. Certainly our children, as they go through trouble spots in their life, you're still going to love your child way. There's a lot of behavior you're going to put up with your child and still have love and understanding for that, you know, the person who lives five doors down, I have no connection. So emotions are important, but logic and reason are important as well, and you should be looking to have your ideas challenged, and challenged well. Not by morons, not by somebody you can easily roll your eyes at and say, oh, that gun nut, or, you know, that lib wacko, or, you know, that's not an argument. That's not an argument. And I think we're getting, and then when you add social media into the mix, where just all of these emotional, nonsensical things are spread around, and then you get a generation of young people who only know how to think in this way, it gets dangerous ultimately for how much freedom you're still going to have in your society. I don't care how convinced you are that you are right. Your right to speak is only as strong as your willingness to stand up for someone else's right to speak, and more so to stand up for the right of someone else who completely disagrees with you. Now, there are certain things that we all agree upon. Cold-blooded murder is wrong. It's not as if there are no rules to the road. But most things that we discuss and argue about don't have bright lines like that. And we are falling into just logic and reason are now becoming why you got canceled. The audacity to answer emotion with reason is in and of itself an emotional reason to cancel you. And I'll get off. I'm not going to talk about the Woody Allen documentary for very long because I just think it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. And as I started this out by saying, as somebody who's on the radio, you know, it's. I don't want people to hear. Given the way people think now, anybody who says, I've looked at this case and it doesn't add up, is so easily put in the, well, obviously he doesn't care about children, or he wants to apologize for an old white guy, or just all of these nonsensical things that have nothing to do with debate. I'll tell you two headlines, and again, I'll repeat myself. The allegations of child molestation against Woody Allen are paper thin at best. That being said, let me toss a little humility out there. I wasn't there, and you weren't there. All we can do is take allegations, set of facts, and do the best we can with that. And on that standard, it is paper thin. A couple of headlines that I've read over the last couple of weeks about the HBO, is it HBO Max documentary? On Woody Allen and Mia Farrow,
so, yeah.
And the allegations of child molestation. I saw one headline that said, it was a review. Literally, the headline, I may not get it perfectly, but it basically said, it's a one-sided documentary, but it's very convincing. What? A man who has been an artist in America since the late 50s, if you turned on your television in 1958, you saw Woody Allen, is being accused of really, I think most of us, we know murder is something that's more, but I think that we all kind of feel that child molestation is about the worst possible thing one human being can do to another human being. I mean, if it's not the worst, it is up there. And so when you are a man at the end, I don't know, what is he, 83 or something now? At the end of his life, you're going to try to kick him off the planet, and everybody knows something that everybody doesn't know. I mean, that's insane to have a headline like that. Oh, the documentary is one-sided, but it's very convincing. Doesn't the first part of that headline neutralize the second part of that headline? We're not talking about whether or not he's a nice guy, things that don't matter. We're talking about, you know, this guy's getting to the end of his life. How are we going to look at his body of work? It's one-sided, but it's very convincing. How is there a generation of people who don't just spit their coffee out when they see a headline like that? Another headline I saw was... it's not criminal justice, but it's cultural justice.
Yeah.
Criminal justice is all we have. The legal system, innocent until proven guilty, is all we have. Cultural justice is a notion that adds up to nothing when you walk into a true and proper court of law. That's like walking into a court of law and arguing tradition. May mean a lot in your house, doesn't mean anything in a court of law. If tradition says you can treat other people poorly, guess what? You walk into a court of law, that doesn't fly. I don't mean to keep talking about this because I know it's uncomfortable. But again, as I said from the very beginning, as somebody that does speak to people, I do think that every once in a while, reason and logic, you do have to speak up for it. As a concept, and just remind people, you know, this is the kind of thing that, you know, they used to pull people out of their homes and burn them in the middle of the street over. And although we don't do that now, we still feel the same about people who do this to children. And just the trivial, frivolous way that sort of 30-somethings in this country we'll just go, oh, yeah, I know he did it. Well, how do you know? How much of the case have you actually looked at?
Just feels right.
Just feels right. Just mm-hmm. feels right.
My feelings, and back my feelings are more important than facts.
That's where we are. And when you go back to the first time, there's no new allegation here. This is exactly the same allegations from the early 90s. I believe it was the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. There's nothing new. And so the idea that, the criminal justice system and all of that, they found no evidence of it. But now we're going to have cultural justice. If you're 35 years old, why is it that the term cultural justice doesn't scare the hell out of you? How terrible are our schools? How are people educated to not immediately have 900 red flags pop up when somebody says cultural justice? Cultural justice is what's happened in this world more often than not in the history of humanity. Criminal justice is the enlightened, modern, still modern in the history, the 10,000 years of civilized history, civilizations, cities, states, all of that. Criminal justice is the enlightened answer to what you could call cultural justice. That's called mob rule. We all think you did something, so let's overwhelm the jails, take away the key, open up the cell, pull that guy out, and hang him in the middle of the town square. That's cultural justice. When you add this new fetish for documentaries, that's all content now, right? Now we got all these streaming things, and they all have to have stuff. That's why these documentaries, you know, how many times have you looked at these things and thought, oh, you know, can we just get a two-hour documentary? No, it's got to be 8 episodes because it's content. You know, do I really need to go back to this room with this guy sitting in this chair to talk again? I get it. If it was a two-hour movie, we wouldn't see him anymore. So now it's content, and it sells. And who cares? You know, you have these people who are 36 years old, like, this guy should be released from jail. He didn't murder that person. How do you know? I listened to a podcast. Weren't there like 12 people in a jury box that, like, for 3 weeks went over all the evidence and decided what they... Oh, no, I saw a documentary. Have you seen the... And then it's going to get worse. People don't know how to think, man. If you don't know how to think, if you don't think of reason and logic as tools that you need to figure out the world around you. Have you seen the Tom Cruise fakes that are out there?
Oh, yeah, on TikTok.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's 2021. I can tell it's not really Tom Cruise. What about 2031? What about 2050? What about 2071? You lose your ability to think and reason, you will be ruled by the mob. I think of this in a minute, Tim. It looks interesting, but I didn't have time to actually look at it. I'll just say this. When it comes to, if we're going to have a generation that decides that the facts are in line with the best documentary that I saw. I made a documentary. I'm not saying that to push it. It's called Scarred But Smarter, Life and Times of Driving and Crime. Available on Amazon Prime. People like it, but that's not the reason I bring it up. I bring it up because I followed them around for nearly 4 years getting material for this. I had to do that because it was kind of hard to get on the inside, and after it took like 2 years for people to relax. But I will tell you this. I could have made 4 different movies about the same people. When you're putting together a documentary, you make decisions. First of all, it has to be compelling and interesting. When we're putting together the show every day, that's the first thing I think of. Hey, if people aren't interested, then it doesn't matter what the hell you're saying. How do you do that? How do you make it compelling? How do you make it interesting? How do you keep people engaged? And I could have done that in at least 4 different ways of presenting the same story. Some of those ways, nearly propaganda and great. You know, there was a point in there about a year and a half in where I saw things as kind of overly negative. I'll be honest with you. And if I'd have made the final cut then, you would have had a different story. Ultimately, I think I got the story right. Sort of warts and all and everything that's good. But I was the person who made the documentary. So I was going to have the last word on what that story was. Do people think about this when we have a human being like Britney Spears, still, what, in her 30s and a full life ahead of her? Or Woody Allen at the end of his life, You can make anybody look great, and you can make anybody look bad in a documentary. You can make anybody look right, and you can make anybody look wrong. It's not asking too much that as you watch these documentaries, you at least keep that in your head as you're watching them. Hour two of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. Okay, in hour one, I taught you how to think. Let's see if we can have a little fun.
Yes.
In hour two.
Hey, try to get
Hey, by the way, I want to start on Monday. I'm so opposed to this Fry-yay concept because I don't like that. I don't like when people are, it's like, you know what? Munyay. That's what we're going to start on Monday. Okay. We're going to say, Munyay! We have an opportunity to be productive for an entire week. Yeah. We can use our minds and we can have thoughts and use our hands to shape things and create things. It's Munyay.
Yeah.
Can't wait to work in the factory again.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you don't like working in the factory, then you need to develop a plan.
Yay. Oh, you're telling me to learn to code? Okay, thanks.
That's no, I didn't say you had to learn to code. By the way, I have two kids who code, and let me tell you something. That's not something I could learn to do. I mean, I think there's this idea out there that, oh, there's all these jobs coding, and just to have your kids code, you got to have a certain kind of wiring in your brain. There's not a lot of weirdness to
smart
it.
Smart wiring?
I've seen it. Well, no, you got to be smart
My
and
kid's
not
really
be able
to. Smart, though.
No, okay, you can be smart and not
My
maybe
kid's
not,
been coding since they were, like, literally two. So.
Okay. I don't know if they were literally two, but I get what you're saying.
No, like, for real.
I get what you're saying. But it's not something that just any brain can. There's a lot of counterintuitive weirdness involved in learning how to code. Because I when my kids were learning it, I would peek my head in every once in a while. I mean, my brain would just spin, and I'd get the hell out of there. Like, man, I'm going to go get a fuzzicle. Doesn't scare me. It's just like, my brain can't just like do it. There's a lot of this. It's not like teaching somebody. Maybe you can teach almost anybody to fish, right, or something like that. It's not like that. It's coding. Your brain has to be able to think in certain ways, and it doesn't mean that you're dumb if you can't do it. I mean, after all, I've just admitted that I can't do it, and I'm certainly not dumb. I'm just saying it's not one of those things where. When they're 12, get them into coding. It might work, it might not. It takes a certain kind of way of being able to think. And I obviously, if you start doing it when you're 5 or 6 or 7 years old, it's a lot easier, like anything else. But it's not just like a trade where, hey, get your kids coding. Yeah, they might take to it, they might not. Maybe they want to be poets, which also means they just want to be poor for the rest of their lives. Let's do this.
The experts say.
Experts say.
No experts are warning.
Experts say.
The experts say.
Experts say.
The experts say. On the Von Hessler Doctrine.
By the way, I love poets, but how many do you think have ever gotten rich? Like in the history of the world, 7?
Yeah, not even Allen Ginsberg was rich.
Like those are like really big poets. You know, it's like I know his name, and most people know like one stanza of one poem. That's like the most famous poet in America. I mean, if you make the decision, somebody should help out a poet. Because if you've made the decision to be a poet, you've made the decision to never have money, most likely. I think maybe 12. Let's say maybe 12 in the history of humanity. 12 poets have been able to feed themselves based on the words that they wrote down. I'm not talking about novelists. I'm not talking about screenplays here. I'm talking about I'm just going to write poetry for the rest of my life. Okay. All right. You're a good guy. Obviously, I'm going to be lending you money and feeding you a lot through our friendship. And that's okay. Just let me read your poems. All right. Experts Say is a segment where we've realized that an awful lot of these mindless headlines that are out there just have those two words in them, experts say. And I guess people just assume these are the smartest people in the world, although, you know, we don't know where they graduated, where they went to school, were they considered bright by their teachers or classmates? Who knows? But you put those two words in there. So every headline you throw at me has to have those two words, experts say, somewhere in it.
And I'm going right for the fun here. Moving on from QAnon, guys, experts say these tips could help.
Okay, there's only one tip. There's only one tip you need. Start using your brain.
All right, what's the next one?
That's the only one you need. You just have to start using your brain.
You're just saying that because you don't want me to understand, because you don't get it.
No. I don't get it. That's my favorite.
If ignoring the truth means not using my brain.
Is it Marjorie? Why am I forgetting? Is it Marjorie Taylor Swift?
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
that's right.
It's difficult to shake it off, isn't it?
Not going to shake me off.
It's just difficult to shake off the QAnon, I take it.
I think we got some bad blood between us. Look what you made me do.
All right, Marjorie Taylor Swift.
She's in trouble.
Listen, that's all you have to do. There's only one. I don't have to be an expert to say if you fell for QAnon, somewhere you turned your brain off, and you got to find that switch, and you just got to switch it back on.
Ouch.
And because if you switch it back on, then obviously ridiculous things present themselves as obvious ridiculous things. If you turn your brain off, then it's not so obvious when things are ridiculous.
Next thing you're going to say is that this world isn't run by a cabal of cannibals.
A thought that should be without having to say that. It should just go without having to say that. But if you need me to tell you that the world is not run by a cabal of cannibals, No, it's on you to prove it. I can't prove it.
I have everything right here. Look, all these citations from Q. He predicted it.
Yeah. Who's Q?
I wish I knew.
So you're taking marching orders from someone that you don't even, if they walked in the room, you wouldn't recognize them.
I trust him, though. He has a plan.
Okay, great. I don't think there's, the QAnon people or even, the stuff on the left, there's plenty of it. It's not just QAnon. They pretend that it's just a right-wing thing these days. But any of these conspiracy things that take over people's minds, they'll just jump to another one. The likelihood of, you may just go, okay, this got boring. The Q, what are they called? Q drops?
Yeah,
they stop dropping or whatever, and you go, okay, it's like when your favorite band suddenly puts out a couple of crappy albums. It's not like you stop listening to music; you just find another band. I think conspiracy theories are kind of like that. Oh, yeah, they're fun until they're not fun, and then okay, on to something else. I'll go back to that thing about the, what was that weather machine in Bermuda or something?
Oh,
remember that one,
yes,
from like 2010 or something? There was supposed to be some kind of weather machine in the Caribbean or something.
Is,
I remember,
that
I was in a conversation. Yeah, I was in a conversation with somebody who, up to that point, I considered a relatively intelligent friend, who was like, "You don't believe in the weather machine in the Caribbean?" Man, as I get older, the people that I think of as intelligent around me, it gets thinner and thinner, that group. It's thinner and thinner. No, I had to say, no, I don't. I don't believe in the weather machine that the CIA or whatever planted in the Caribbean. No, I do not. Or Caribbean, yeah, however you say it. All right, do you want to give us a couple of these stupid things you can? By the way, this is, I haven't seen this article, but this is going to be tips from snobby leftist.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Yes.
Well, perhaps you might want to think about getting rid of the Second Amendment.
The first one is listen, listen, don't preach.
Okay, is that just for the right wing, or does that apply to everybody?
No, just the right.
So the person giving these tips, from where they come from, they don't have opinions. They know that they have facts. Now you shut up. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to preach, but I'm not like you. I'm right and you're wrong. There's no hope for this. I almost swore there.
Watch out.
There's almost no hope. Once people all over the political spectrum, the only smart people are dumb people now. Like, you have to go look for somebody who's never read a book. They're the only people who have common sense. You got to go find somebody who has had to actually get up and work for a living and do things. They just didn't have any interest in bigger issues. These are the only smart people left. Yes, Jared Yamamoto.
One of the experts does say unplug. It says taking breaks from social media can help you because there's a lot of, that's where the Q conspiracy theories are being spread. Which,
okay, will it help me from thinking that this actress from The Mandalorian is the next Hitler? What about that?
That's true.
there's nothing. Oh, the left never buys into anything with social media, but I was supposed to believe that this actress from The Mandalorian has to be stopped. She's dangerous, I tell you. We'll be back. I love that Stacey Abrams propaganda spot we just ran.
God.
I'm just an old Georgia white dude, and I ain't afraid of guns, and I ain't afraid of voting by mail. It's sensible. There's no, you know what, we shouldn't even debate it. Yeah. As a matter of fact, when old Georgia Sense tells me, as an old Georgia white guy, Republican here, I just think it's gonna lead to more Republican victories. It just makes common sense. You know what? As a matter of fact, I just don't even think we should debate it. You know, it turns out that there's just not even any downside whatsoever to everybody voting by. We shouldn't even talk about it. I mean, it's so obvious. I mean, at least to this good old white boy, Georgia Southern, it seems just sort of, I mean, what?
Don't they make enough money to buy everybody a driver's license?
It's like one of these Andy Griffith like characters, the 19th. They called it a punk. What was his first big bit where like some Southern boy was describing football he saw for the first time?
They was kicking this little old pumpkin around. What it was mail-in voting. I said, I never heard of nothing like that.
I'm not against mail-in voting per se, but the idea, it has absolutely no downside whatsoever. We shouldn't even debate it. I mean, it's just obvious common sense. And the spot doesn't make any sense. It's been producing Republican victories forever. Now all of a sudden Republicans are against it. Well, why would a party decide? You know, this thing that seems to lead to us winning all the time. We need to get rid of it.
Yeah.
When in history did that ever happen? I'm not against mail-in voting per se, but come on. I would love to get into like the casting for that commercial. Nah, it doesn't sound Southern white and Republican enough. We need somebody else. Come on. Well, you know, after I slopped the hogs, it's like Georgia 1937. You know, after I. And I take off more
overalls. You sound like you're from Brunswick, Georgia. That's what you sound like.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, when I'm drying my overalls over by the fire, I think about mail-in voting. And that's just whatever, people. All right, what do you got for experts say?
All right, quarantini, Zoom bombing. Experts say new words are helping people cope with COVID-19, guys.
Yay! I love new words.
If it wasn't for the word quarantini, I would have ended it all months ago.
This previously was just my budding alcoholism, but now it's a quarantini.
Yay!
Oh, this is a complete. This proves the point of the segment. Experts say. Well, who is the expert, and where is the science behind this? You know,
the linguists.
The linguists. They haven't ruined the world.
How dare linguist. You, sir? I'm a linguist.
You are a languageologist.
Oh yeah.
As we all know,
I forget words.
You know, I do have a name here, guys. This is Michael Iannazzani, I think is how you say. He's a linguist at Western University in London, Ontario.
Michael Ian. Michael Ian is here with us. Michael Ian, did you do the study on words and pandemics?
Words that I did, you know. And so,
Michael Ian, for heaven's sakes, we expect you to be able to express yourself.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, you know, if you have a word that you don't know much about, you can, you know, pick two words and make one word. And then when you take two words, I believe it's called a portmanteau.
Yeah, and that's when you start feeling better about yourself and about the lockdown and everything.
Well, I just thought it meant you hurt your toe. Portmanteau.
I'm going to present myself as an expert on nothing. The nothing expert, Eric Von Hessler, will tell you what is the science behind this.
Feels better.
Thank goodness.
Well, it does make you feel good when you take,
quarantini.
Like a martini.
How many lives have been saved by the word quarantini?
Several. In Canada, several.
Dr. Ian says, it says these new words reflect what people are actually feeling on the inside what their new normal
drunk.
Is. So thank you, Dr. Ian.
It's another one. Okay,
Rockdown is what we call it. We listen to rap music when we don't leave our home. Rockdown. It's Rockdown.
It's going to end in Rocktober, right?
Hell yeah. September, then Rocktober.
Just the silliest damn things you can imagine. Yeah, somebody will read that thing. Oh, wow, it is comforting knowing that we have these new words. Please. Mm-hmm. Please. That's my commentary. Please.
Please, girl.
Next.
Get yourself another quarantini and just stop talking.
You better give me another story really quick because, boy, am I getting angry about this Mr. Potato Head nuts.
All right, you'll like this one here.
It's like, hey, by the way, if you're on the left or you're on the right, you're watching MSNBC or Fox News, Eric Von Hessler here to inform you of something that's absolutely true that you may not realize. You, in fact, do not give a damn about Mr. Potato Head. And you don't have to talk about it today just because it was served up to you. All right, next.
All right, the real number of steps you should walk every day, say health experts.
Now, wait a minute, I do. I do my 10,000 steps a day. Sometimes I do more. You know, it's become now, I just do my morning walk and my evening walk, and I do them both, not evening, afternoon walk. I do them both after I eat. And so sometimes now, even if I already have 10,000 in, I will still walk for another hour
in the afternoon. That's good for
digestion. Get the old digestion going. It's good for my constitutional.
It's also good for your brain because walking connects your left side of your brain to your right side of your brain because you're having to use them simultaneously.
Oh, that's why I get confused while I'm walking.
What am I doing again?
Sometimes
did I eat lunch?
I'm happy. I'm sad. I don't know what the hell's going on.
I'm logical. I'm full of feeling.
So what is now? It can't be good enough. I can't do. Listen, there's a thing called old man needs. All right, if you tell me it's 25,000, I'm not getting there a day because my knees will just be barking forever.
No, it's less than that. In fact, this is a study from Harvard says that you only need 4,400 steps. 4,400. That's all you need.
You know, is this really a good? Hey, listen, walk less. Remember that story came out a couple of years ago? It turns out that flossing your teeth does nothing.
Oh yeah.
Well, it still removes dead animal meat from between your teeth. Just in terms of hygiene, isn't that something that you would want to do? Not walk around with last night's steak in your teeth?
Right.
Walk 10,000 steps. Hey, turns out you can be lazier. It's the fattest country on earth. Ooh, Paul McCartney's got another item coming out that you can pay $100 for. It's his life in lyrics.
Oh, little boobity boop. A little book it's called, Boopity Doop, Doopity Da.
You know, Tim Andrews, we come from kind of the same stock. Same
sort
people.
Of, yeah, I guess.
Western New York, and you're, what do you call that? Like middle, yeah, kind of, yeah.
Southern
middle,
tier.
Yeah, you're the southern tier, so you're on the Pennsylvania. Sometimes you're on the New York side in Elmira. Sometimes you're on the Pennsylvania side in Mansfield. And we both grew up with hunters in our family, right? You had the hunter. We all we had uncles and people who would have their hunting beard in the winter. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing: they would eat the stuff that they hunted. They would, they would kill it. And I can't be above all that. I go into a supermarket, and all that stuff was walking around somewhere else. I wasn't there for the ugly part. So we have a healthy respect for hunters. The people I cannot stand. Trophy hunters. So this story it starts off with a quote. I'm over the moon. Trophy hunter slammed for posing with bloody heart from giraffe. Hubby paid $1,500 for her to shoot as Valentine's gift.
Oh.
And this woman is posing. Like I said, you see this, the giraffe is alive and standing there. She shoots it. First, she poses with this huge, beautiful, dead animal. Like, yeah, I just killed this thing. And then she pulls the heart out, and she poses with the heart. I guess that's because it's Valentine's Day. I got to tell you, I don't get it. I understand sometimes you do have to thin the herd in certain areas and things
like
that.
Or, like, there's a rogue elephant in a village that's terrorizing people, and then you feed the entire village with its meat.
They do take the money from some of these and use it to pay for those parks, though.
Okay, I get it, but still. Okay, let's say that the park, maybe overall they've decided to take these idiot rich people who enjoy doing this and try to maybe help keep the preserve going. Okay, I get that. But the individual human being, you've just felled an amazing animal. and you're standing over it. Like, I just, if you have to eat, that's a whole different thing. We're talking about a whole different situation. That's called hunters actually respect. Well, you go back to, what do we say? First peoples, indigenous, whatever is the right way to say it. In America. They used to, there was a whole thing, you know, praying before your meal. Part of that is to pay homage to the life that had to be taken so that you could sustain your, all of this kind of stuff. All of that goes along with the history of actual hunting for food. Trophy hunting is, hey, look at me. I'm a rich douchebag. Let's do this.
It's time to go down by law with George Stein.
All right, George Stein, we have you on every couple of weeks so that we can get to the legal underpinnings of current events. How are you today, sir?
Very good. Good morning. Good to be with you.
Very nice. Very nice. I'm glad you're in a good place. Lots of stories with legal underpinnings. Jared Yamamoto, toss one at us.
All right, this first one comes from The Mirror. Male worker sues female boss who told him to, quote, man up in woman-dominated firm.
Ooh, this is, you know what, I think this is, George, I think all of this is kind of ridiculous, but it's inevitable once you go down this road that there are going to be men who start, this isn't counter-suing, you're suing, basically saying, well, I, as a man in the office, I'm discriminated against. Well, this guy was a scientist or something, right? And so he's the only guy who works there, and all the women would say, you have to move the heavy boxes because you're a man. What do you think? This man's got a case. It's not in the state of Georgia. It's probably in England. What do you think?
I doubt when she told him to man up that he fell in the fetal position and started crying. But to tell you the truth, you know, legally speaking, in America, that suit would not stand. It wouldn't be a good lawsuit. He would lose. But, you know, perhaps this is in Wales. It's in England. Yeah. So perhaps the standard there is going to be a little bit different. But it still sounds like it's a weaker suit. He's saying that there was a toxic environment there. But, you know, normally.
Well, they would say things to him, George. They would say things to him like, you need to leave. This is girl talk.
Yeah.
Surely he deserves millions.
Well, I don't know if I would want to hear girl talk, but
yeah, I'm happy.
How
you know what?
You?
I'm happy
I'm
not
suing.
To. I am happy not to hear girl talk, but I don't know. I feel like if it's going to go the other way, then you will end up with these sort of ridiculous lawsuits, and maybe you would find some traction with something like this. At some point, I don't think it's completely absurd because he was the only. If you're the only male, how come you have to carry the boxes around? I mean, is that really right? Well, he's a scientist. He's a research scientist. He has to carry everybody else's boxes around.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you have a point. The question is, does it rise to the level where he's entitled to damages? You know, you know, some financial remuneration for such horrible behavior. And it just doesn't sound that horrible to me. So, but I understand the concept.
Yeah. I don't. It doesn't sound that horrible to me either. But I think that once you start going down the road of one side being able to say, "Hey, we were to," well, let's just turn it around. I mean, things are either legal or they're not. I mean, and we're just talking in theory here. Would Autumn have a case if every time, if you know, if she worked here in the in an office and every time she walked in, if me and Tim and Jared said, you need to leave. This is men's talk. Wouldn't she have a case if she went to HR? I think she'd have a case. Because she could say,
so.
Look,
I mean,
go ahead.
When they switch the, you know, the folks on it like that, then yes, I think it does make a difference. Maybe it should, but it does. And that would be a stronger lawsuit.
Well, the reason is because it's what Autumn could say is, who knows? That I may be losing opportunities for advancement. I don't know what's going on in those conversations.
Yeah, because women's talk is going to be something like a little bit more private than what men talking would be.
You think, but let me point this out. This is a firm that is completely run by women. He's the only male
there.
There
would be more
so
bonding
his bosses,
opportunities if if he were allowed within that group.
What about decisions that are made about the company or the next thing you're going to research or what would be best? I mean,
I think I don't think that they're talking about that. I think that they would be talking about something personal about like their bodies or something that only a woman would understand. And but I agree, there is an opportunity for bonding to happen that he's no longer getting, and so someone may feel more comfortable with someone else because she's told her story about her.
See, this is the point. It's the point about like women rightfully said, if you're not going to let us golf, then we're not going to be. A lot of deals are made on the golf course, right? In the executive world, right? A lot of you, hey, let's go out there. It's like a working kind of game, and deals are actually finalized and made on the golf course. So I think women had a good point of view, which is like, hey, if we're not out there golfing, then we're completely excluded from the ability to, you know, do the networking and all of that that you need to actually seal the deal. I don't know. I'm not so sure it can go one way. You know, George, I mean, it's like it's like when people, I have to point out to people when they say it's reverse racism. There's no such thing. There's just racism. So there's just racism. There's no such thing as reverse racism. It's just racism. It can come from any different thing. And once you make laws and give I always have trouble. Is it remuneration or remuneration? Whichever one it is, for one kind of racism, then you kind of like open it up, I think, eventually to any kind.
Yeah, in concept, it should apply equally both ways. So, you know, but it always boils down to the same thing. You know, how egregious is the bad behavior? How toxic was it? And when you get to the damages phase of a lawsuit, you know, what is it worth? You
know, he was told, by the way, man up because he had a bad back. And they said, you
in a hernia,
those
too.
Boxes. A hernia. He had a hernia. And he said, look,
oh, whatever.
Man up.
Yeah, I took two kids out of this. You think you can't lift a couple boxes with a hernia?
What if I said, hey, we got a good important client coming over. Why don't you dress up? Make yourself look good.
Hike up that skirt, honey.
Exactly. All right, next story.
All right, this comes from The Smoking Gun. New blood alcohol record recorded by highly intoxicated Oregon motorist, guys.
Okay, what was this? It's a .77. Now, isn't that somebody who really legally is dead at that point?
It's formaldehyde.
You dead.
Yeah, no, normally, you know, when it comes to alcohol intoxication, if your BAC is a .4, or above, then you could expire. You could die. I mean, my personal best is a 4.2. Not me. I mean, one of my clients.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we're talking about. Okay. Let's start with people here. So intoxication is not a 0.8. It's a 0.08. So when you say 0.4, you're talking about the zero's gone now. We've blown past. We're going into a different decimal here. So 0.4 is if it's true that 0.08 does make you identify you as intoxicated, then you've completely blown through that hole. You've moved over to the next zero, and you start putting numbers there. You're saying 0.4 is enough to maybe kill you, and this guy's at 0.77.
Yeah, that's messed up. That's so intoxicated that you'd be almost semi-conscious or unconscious. But you know, there's this thing when it comes to, you know, alcohol called, you know, tolerance. The body starts to tolerate it. And if you're an extreme alcoholic and you're drinking, a quart of whiskey every day, then your body builds up some tolerance, and you can have the higher BACs. But
they should just test your liver rather than your breath at that point. His liver was about to burst.
Yeah.
For a normal man,
he was he was legally dead, but for him, he was just, you know, a little tipsy. Yeah.
He became the life of the party. It's kind of a different. Depends on who you are. My wife is demure. She's a small person, 5'2". And, you know, it's one glass of wine and she becomes completely obnoxious, I got to tell you. Whereas for me, it takes one glass of wine. One glass of wine, she becomes obnoxious. It takes at least four for me to become obnoxious, but I'm a big fella. So is 0.08, do you find 0.08 always, that's our legal definition in the state of Georgia. But are people, is it a pretty good definition as far as you're drunk.
It doesn't mean you're impaired or drunk, Eric, if you're a 0.08. It just means that section of the law says that's an illegal concentration of alcohol in your bloodstream. I see people all the time that are 0.08, so like perfectly normal, and you can't even really tell there's anything.
I've always told my my children, who, you know, you go from teenagers and then you're driving and then, you know, it's the party years, the early 20s and all that. And this is what I tell them. When in terms of you're at a party or you're drinking and you got to go somewhere, the question in your brain isn't, it shouldn't be, can I drive? The question is, can I beat a breathalyzer? Those are two different questions. That's what you should be asking yourself. Is that music telling me we're going to go away for a moment? We'll come right back, George. We've got to take a break here.
The Von Hessler Doctrine.
Oh, you betcha. Laughter is a great medicine. Doesn't taste bad, doesn't cost anything, and nobody's going to get blamed if you crack a big old smile. Just do us a favor. Floss before listening. Thank you. Eric Von Hessler on 95.5 WSB.
Ah, things are getting crazy on this Friday. Autumn's gone braless. Things are crazy.
Don't talk about that. I'm going to sue.
Okay,
so I
apologize. All right, George Stein, we're doing Down by Law. What's you wanted to bring up something real quick, Jared, that's going on here with the when is the All-Star weekend?
It's next weekend, and Brookhaven is going to be lit, guys, because they're going to extend their alcohol hours till 4 a.m. basically from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Now, I don't know. We're kind of throwing this one at you, George, but I think that community leaders and the NBA and the mayor and everybody's trying to say, don't do anything around this All-Star game. Keep your social distance. But then, you know, obviously these restaurants are doing what's within their legal rights, right? To say, no, we're going to have fun. Where does the law stand on that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's up to those city municipalities and their rules. And, yeah, they're allowed to stay open until 4 o'clock. They expanded the hours, and so, you know, I think people are going to enjoy themselves, enjoy the ball games, and drink longer than normal.
But, I mean, they won't be on the hook for it. So the mayor is just basically saying, this is my opinion. I don't want you to do that, but there's no force of law behind that. That's just her saying, this is what I would want you to do. All right, George Stein, the music's playing, so tell people how they can get more George Stein.
Yes, in your time of need, if you want a quality lawyer standing next to you, that's been in a motorcycle accident, simply go to steelhorselaw.com or call 404-522-1000. Or have a criminal matter or a DUI, simply go to georgestein.com.
And if you're partying this weekend or on NBA All-Star Weekend, be smart, use your brain, don't be an idiot. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Hour 3 of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. You've got to get that audio I just heard of CPAC.
CPAC, yeah, I'm loading it right now.
Oh, my God, did you hear that? People questioning a government directive. What's next? Let them give each other. Who cares? I am so tired of hearing about masks at this point. I wear a mask. I don't care. I'm sure that... What state is that going to be in? What is the CPAC?
It's in Orlando. Orlando.
Oh, it's in Orlando. Ah, they've all got COVID already anyway.
Let's go to Disney World.
I mean, after that super spreader event called the Super Bowl, I mean, we do have the stories about all of the hospitalizations. Well, it's been a couple weeks now, right? We were told that was a maskless mayhem. Well, oh, do you have? The problem is I got Greg Russ on deck, and if I go off on one thing, then he'll get angry. I got to deal with that all weekend long. I wear a mask. I recommend wearing a mask, but I don't know that it's shocking that Americans have their own point of view. You know, it's impossible. It's talk radio, right? So nobody heard what I said, right? No, everybody heard what they think I thought I just said, right? But what I'm saying is,
you're anti-mask.
I do now. Yeah. I wear a mask, but because I just said I'm not shocked that Americans question a government directive, that means that Von Hessler, he doesn't follow the science. He does follow Greg Russ. So let's do this.
He's a misanthrope. He has a dark heart. And he needs a good psychiatrist.
New York. New York.
It's Greg Russ with stories from Studio B1.
Yeah, grumble, grumble, grumble. Here's top news.
I'm just going to make noises.
Grumbling. So people are grumbling, Greg, in an audience somewhere. That's top news. Yes. Stop with the noise. I don't find the noise charming. I don't find it charming.
Oh, hush your mouth. You don't even give me a chance to explain what I was going to do. You may as well make noises, is what I was going to say, because people don't listen to anything you say. Quite often in my life, I'm realizing I explain things so clearly and crisply, and then people come away confused in their misunderstanding. What do you... I couldn't have said it any clearer. So that, you know, you didn't trust me. I don't find it charming. I'm not just coming on making noises for no reason.
Do you want an apology, Greg Russ?
Yes.
It sounds to me like you are demanding an apology from Eric Von Hessler. And you know what? I'm going to give it to you. I apologize, Greg Russ. I thought that you were just... I've known you for a very long time, and sometimes you just think that making noises is charismatic. And I apologize. That was not the case there. Although, I do happen to know that you told me that one time you were on a Zoom meeting for work, and you started to explain yourself, and in the middle of it, you didn't even know what you were saying. And then you started to see yourself like third person down from the ceiling, and then you were sweating. And
That's called anxiety.
Did you have a panic attack during a Zoom meeting once?
Well, the strange thing is I never go into full panic attacks, but yes, my breathing was completely off, and then my brain just got to the point where I was speaking, I was saying things, but what I was consciously thinking was, you just got to get through this. Just keep pushing. And it actually felt like it was a physical challenge. It was lifting, like sometimes maybe if you have a bench press and it's getting too heavy, like I can get that's what this felt like. Physically, it's had to push forward. The breathing was gone. It was off.
Yeah, now, when you were done, do you feel like you were probably making too much of it? Did the people on the other side really kind of get what you were talking about and it was fine? Or did you see a lot of blank faces on the screen?
I'm sure that people... Look, here's the thing. Most people aren't listening anyway, as we've already established. And if you actually listen closely to what other people are saying, they say nothing at all. People just say things. Mm-hmm. And if you say it with conviction and confidence, people say, okay. That's all it is.
Do you engage in corporate speak? You know, like that thing, you know, we have to figure that out.
The corporate BS generator.
Thank you for your constructive feedback.
There's a parallel, you just use buzzwords for no good reason.
Well, Eric, look, we can talk, we can sidebar. After the segment, let's sidebar about this.
Circle back.
Okay, hold on. Let's see if it's good. Now that we brought it up, let's just take a look at the corporate BS generator. And let's see. Generate. We're going to proactively productize ubiquitous potentialities.
Ooh, that sounds good. That sounds like a positive thing. I'm into that.
That's really the thing that we're going to do. So... some of these get a little ridiculous. Monotonectally coordinate process centric adoption.
No, that's good because if we don't do that monotonectively, then we're not going to be as productive. You know,
We used to do it duotonectively, but that tonectally, I guess
that was
no
a waste
v
of time.
That was wrong. That was wrong. Mm-hmm. We apologize for it. Just I apologize to Greg Russ. So,
I'd like
Russ,
to be conscious of time, Eric. I'd like to be conscious of everyone's time. That's something that happens on these video chats. I know that I just scheduled a meeting that didn't need to happen for 30 minutes. You know, I'm conscious of everyone's time, though, so we'll end it a minute early.
You know
I'm
going to
give you a minute back.
I was actually in a corporate kind of thing yesterday. It doesn't happen to me very often, but I think I did hear that buzz phrase a couple of times, but it was good because the person was protecting me. There's like, well, I'm conscious of Eric's time, so it was actually protecting me with that. But I did just hear that. No, he was protecting me from the others.
Oh, thank you.
Excuse me, I am an artist who needs to be protected from time to time.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate. My corporate protectors. Yes, Tim?
I was going to say, he was quickly simplifying cross-unit vortals for you.
That's what it was. That's mm-hmm. what I'm trying to think of, like, they don't say silos. What do they say when it's, like, parallel? There's a corporate word. I just can't think of it right now. It's when, never mind. I'm not going to think of it.
You're not corporate.
It'll be boring.
You know?
Yeah, I don't wear a tie. Yeah. I'm better than you.
Yeah, you roll up your sleeves.
When that's you efficiently engineer quality information.
Okay, we can just keep throwing corporate BS generator phrases around, or we can get some stories from Studio B1. I'm open to either.
Well, we have important things to talk about, like the Tom Cruise deep fake TikTok account that is producing the viral videos going around. I'm going to show you some magic is one of them.
Which one do we have? The one that's on the golf course? Is that the audio? The golf one.
Yes,
I have the magic one, actually. Greg,
I actually do. I actually do think that this is important, because even though you can tell, and I bet some people would be fooled now, casual, people who just casually look at it, but any kind of in-depth looking at this, you can see that it's not actually Tom Cruise. The guy appears to be a little bit taller than Tom Cruise, but I think that this is important. I don't think you're going to be able to distinguish fact from fiction like 20 years from now. This is the embryonic AI deepfakes, but they always...
And I hate it. I hate that this is happening. I cannot stand the future. This is in my mind. I used to always
look forward. I was always a forward thinking person. Like, man, I kind of wish I'd been born. Like, I always wanted to be. Wouldn't it be great to be alive 100 years from now? Imagine the technology, and you know, maybe like people are living on Mars or something. That'd be really cool. But I feel like social media is the beginning of the end of people being able to distinguish truth from reality, and that's the breakdown of society right there. So let's hear a little bit of this Tom Cruise on the golf course. It always, all of these always end with that maniacal laugh from that famous Scientology video.
I'm going to show you some magic. It's the real thing.
So he's golfing.
I mean, it's all the real thing.
Oh, I thought it was the golf one. That wasn't the golf one.
Yeah, that was the dash trick. He has a coin and he's doing a magic trick. But there's the golfing one. There's one where he's talking about an encounter he had with Gorbachev.
There was one of these people. I think the people who are doing it now, it's almost like a warning. Like, you look at this. If it's this good now, imagine what it's going to be in 10 or 15 or 20 years. I mean, politicians, somebody suggested in the story that I saw, and it makes sense. Like, someone like me who's not on social media, you better get on social media and you better get checkmarked, even if you're never going to use it. Because in the future, people will pretend to be you. If you're, especially politicians, can you imagine? I think, here he was at a party and he used the N-word, and if it wasn't real, but if people see it and think that they saw it, you can't shake it. I'm glad, you know what, I've decided, although I used to think I wanted to live in the future, now I'm perfectly happy to die when I'm supposed to die and be gone. I don't want to be here in the future. I think it's going to be ugly. We'll be back.
The Von Hessler Doctrine.
A really unique perspective, especially of a lot of the talk shows in Atlanta.
This hour is sponsored by Hoffman Financial on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
Hey, Greg Rush, I know you're a music lover. Did you watch that BTS Unplugged on MTV, huh? That was something, huh?
I've heard you talking about it.
Yeah, they unplugged.
I missed it, you know. I was really excited to watch it, but yes, my busy life.
Nobody can figure out what they unplugged or where they unplugged from. Did you know that? Now there's a controversy. What did they unplug and where did they unplug from? But they don't. None of them play. But they are. They're the most beautiful mannequins ever. I think you'd agree with that. As mannequins go, they are the most talented. Pretty.
This really offends you. That they didn't.
Well, it offends
unplug.
Me the words. The words don't mean anything
don't,
anymore.
You know
unplugged. Unplugged means at some point you have to have something to unplug.
They unplugged themselves.
Yeah, but they're on battery power, so that doesn't count.
Well, I mean, it's not plugged in. Hello, the
they're
words
not always
mean something.
But if you see
them,
they
are unplugged.
Point
maybe you. they unplugged their brains. Like usually they're
that's
very
the audience.
Neurotic. Maybe
what
they're
brain?
Very neurotic, and yeah, they said, the you audience. Know what? We're just unplugging our brains. We're just going to focus on our music.
Seven guys in this band. Nobody plays an instrument, but they were unplugged anyway.
Voice is their instrument.
The most beautiful. Well, at the, you know what? Unplugged should have been a cappella.
You should play
acapella.
It. That's what it sounds
shouldn't
like.
Shouldn't it have been a cappella? Shouldn't they have been doing
be
like a barber shop quartet kind of thing going on? They can't do that.
You should look up the Toto Africa acapella rendition. Man, beautiful. If you really want to, if you want to be moved.
Is it done by Toto or is it done by some other group?
Stop saying Toto like that.
Toto?
That's the way it's pronounced.
Toto. It's two T's.
Yeah, what do you want?
Toto?
It's not Toto.
You say it.
Toto.
Toto.
No, Toto.
It's like saying city. Like,
it's
I live
a
in a city.
Yeah, city.
You live in a city. Yeah, that's
button.
Right.
Butter.
You know, I gotta say, like, I had a lot of friends who, I didn't necessarily, I'm a fiscal conservative, so I didn't really agree with a lot of Obama's policies, but I had these friends on the right who used to get mad that he would pronounce the names of world leaders correctly. Somehow that was supposed to be I never saw that as a negative.
Pretentious, Eric.
Jerk. It's like people who if you say, yeah, that guy, he had a Porsche 911. Oh, Porsche. It's the guy's name.
What are you, full of book learning?
His name is Robert Porsche. Boy. This isn't a thing. It's a name.
I do find myself, not that I talk about Porsches that often, but I do think about that. It's like, if I say Porsche, I'm going to sound like a pretentious jerk. So therefore, maybe I should just say Porsche and get it wrong on purpose because I don't want this person loser in front of me judging me. This is where we are. This is where I am in my life, that I'm modifying the way I speak because this person who's standing in front of me, who I really shouldn't care about, has some kind of influence.
Yeah, but my point is, it's not tomato, tomato. His name is Robert Porsche. It's a name. Although I have to say that I do judge people who say Van Gogh, and that is his name. So I guess
call it a Porchy.
Porchy. You pick and choose. You have your own set of rules. By the way, the group that does Toto Africa a cappella, it's not the band Toto. It's Perpetuum Jazile.
Oh, they sound great. They probably, it's probably like they do all that. They take big hits from the past and they do them a cappella.
This is their
thing. It's like
our
buddy, what was his name? Is it Bobby Yang?
Yeah, he used to play the violin.
I'm sorry, he still does. But I mean, it's a little bit novelty, but it's still fun to go see. Basically, he plays like Black Sabbath hits on violin with his band. It's fantastic. Yes?
What do you think when symphony orchestras and cities play? They play the Back to the Future soundtrack.
No, hold on. No, wait a minute. No, I'm all for that because when I was like in fifth grade, the orchestra, this is probably from Memphis or something, because we were in Bartlett, Tennessee. The orchestra came, and we went over to the high school, and they played, like, Beatles songs and stuff, and it was great. It made me interested in orchestras. When I said overdone, is I'm a little tired of the rock stars, you know, in the rock bands with the London Philharmonic behind them.
Oh, yes.
That's been overdone. It was a good idea, but once 700 other people have done it, I'm not interested in my favorite band doing it. Well, Greg Russ, Billy Joel is playing you off the stage. You have any last
Barbershop
words?
Barbershop Quartet.
Before you go on to lonely weekend, I would assume?
I just used to love Billy Joel's Moving Out, Anthony song, because he mentioned Sullivan Street, which is the street I lived on.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I liked that song quite a bit. Then I lived on Sullivan Street as an adult, and I thought, wow, how things came together.
You thought you had made it, and yet that was a decade ago, and you're still...
That dark apartment with mice. I thought I had made it a mini fridge.
Here you are. Mr. Cacciatore was a slumlord.
Now you're making no sense and sweating profusely on corporate Zoom calls. We all grow up. Greg Russ, have a good weekend.
All right, thanks, you too. Whoa.
All right, last half hour of the week for this show. We're going to get it in. Better get it in now. Some stories we didn't get to. One of them I'm kind of happy we didn't get to. Man will cop to mutilating his wife's lover. I don't know if you saw this one on Smoking Gun. I don't want to get too into it because we're getting close to lunchtime. But just suffice to say, man finds wife in bed with neighbor. Shows back up. He's got scissors.
Oh.
Neighbor's going to have trouble for the rest of his life. But lived. That's the good thing, right? Let's come and lived.
Florida man, too, Eric. Florida man, important.
Florida, of course. But you know what? You know, and it's not a laughing matter, Jared Yamamoto. It's not a laughing matter. These things happen to men. Have you noticed when these things happen to men, going all the way back to Lorena Bobbitt and her husband? It's kind of a laughing matter. I got a feel if it went the other way, it wouldn't be a laughing matter. So I think we should... I know he resides in Florida. And maybe he shouldn't have had an affair with his neighbor's wife. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do either, but...
you're not condoning it, but also, how about don't have the affair?
Well, a lot of people have affairs. Did you know that? I don't cheat on my wife, but a lot of people do. This Ashley Madison, another story we didn't get to. You know what Ashley Madison is?
Yes, it's
a dating website for married people.
Yeah.
Now, do you cheat with other married people, or do single women just say, hey, if you're a married guy? I get the feeling it's mostly guys that are cheating on their wives. not necessarily with somebody else's wife.
I think you can set it up that way. I think you can say, like, I only want to hook up with a married man, or I want to hook up with a single man as a married woman.
I haven't read the whole
thing.
Not
that I know anything about it.
That's what I'm wondering. You say to experts say, Ashley Madison, married dating site. This was called Married Dating. The site grew to 70 million users in 2020. I don't know what it was before 2020, but why would lockdown make you? Well, I guess you know what.
You're
I have to go on a
question.
I have to go on a business trip. You've never gone on a business trip in your life. Well, you know, with the pandemic,
I got to go into the office to get something.
Well.
What COVID?
Yeah, we got the boss COVID. Needs me today.
Yeah, I left some supplies at the office. I got
to
go get them.
You know what? I went to the office. I got COVID. The darndest thing, I'm going to have to stay in a hotel for 14 days before I come back home.
I got a different strain of COVID again. Oh, no.
Yeah, I can't look at scissors the same way ever again, though. Look at
scissors seems way too difficult. If you're going to do that, scissors is not the thing I grab.
Stop.
Unless it's those yard ones, those big
ones. Sewing.
Again, you're making light of the situation because
I'm not. I'm not. I'm asking questions.
Was a man.
Iron sharpens iron. I'm asking questions, Eric.
You're just saying words you've heard me say. Listen.
Hey, I was when I was in Memphis, Tennessee, I worked at Mr. Steak. Okay, so I know.
Hey, I'm 56 years old.
You guys are just repeating me now. I will say this, that it's an interesting thing that there's a lot of, like, if not outright laughter at these stories. They I'll bet you that it's more likely they get into, like, a Kimmel or Colbert or, you know, kind of like monologue thing. But if it was the other way around, everybody would understand. Now, this is a horrible, horrible thing that's done. It's going to be difficult to relieve himself for the rest of his life. It's terrible. Thoughts and prayers. That's all I can say. Thoughts and prayers. All right. I didn't know whether I wanted to end the week with Doctrine Extra or if I wanted to end the week with Radio Free Association. I feel my producer, Jared Yamamama, would like me to go lean toward free radio.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Please. Because he thinks we have a lot of audio on the table that we should get to. So before we hit the actual sounder, Autumn, I think that what is that free? What's it going to sound like? Free audio.
Free Audio Association.
All right, let's do it.
Free Audio Association.
It's a little louder than you.
Free Audio Association.
Is that our friend Pineapple?
That is Pineapple, yeah. Happily still married, living out of Las Vegas now.
Oh, really? I bet you she married a Navy SEAL. I don't know. I just always saw her as I used to joke with her. She is a wonderful person. And she is always like the most American. And I used to joke with her when she does get married. Like, she would get married to a Navy SEAL. And that every morning they would wake up and say the Pledge of Allegiance and then go
home. We raise the flag and go into our front yard and raise the flag every day. Free.
Wonderful person, though. She's happy, though. I didn't know she got... I wasn't aware. So she's married and off in Vegas.
Yeah.
Sin City. That's a strange place.
Not on Ashley Madison.
Okay.
Still working for one of those big 24-hour news networks, too.
Oh, really? Out of Vegas?
Yeah.
I don't know which one it was, but she started working at the big 24-hour news network here in Atlanta. I don't know which one it was. But
I wonder which one it is.
Newsmax.
I didn't know that they had a Vegas...
Oh, hey, don't she still works? She still works for the one out of Atlanta. I don't know which one that is, though, of course. Yeah. But
Newsmax, that's just fat guys on Skype, right?
Full you know trip that? Now is going to be a CPAC.
I was on a panel, and I decided to use that joke, which, by the way, I got from Jared Yamamoto. He's the first person who told me that, which I think is a little bit of a joke that's on the internet or something. And Jared Yamamoto, because I can't believe Jared was that original himself. Jared Yamamoto.
That is my joke.
That's your joke? Okay, that's a good joke. And so I took your joke, and it was during a pundit. It was during a panel thing with Scott Slade and Eric Erickson. And I made that joke. And Eric said, hey, wait a minute. I'm on Newsmax.
Oh, wait a minute now.
Blame blame Jared Yamamoto. I was just using his stupid joke.
My protege.
You got me in trouble. You got me in trouble. My own people. All right. Well, you say we have so much great audio. Do we have Dr. Jill Biden with who's the lady who won American Idol?
Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
Y'all.
Her show is still on. She outlasted.
Can you believe it? Y'all thought I wasn't gonna make it.
Yeah, I gotta Eric say, hated I did not. I've never hated her.
You constantly rooted for her to fail.
I met her. I did not root for her to fail. I met her once, and she was delightful.
You were delightful too. I remember it just like it was yesterday, y'all.
I'll bet you do. I just didn't think it would work. I was wrong. I was completely right about Megyn Kelly's show, but I was completely wrong.
Sweet? You're sweeter than bullshit. Come on, honey. Yeah, Go ahead and play your audio.
Okay, that's fine. So. Now the music's playing.
Oh, I can play this real quick. The moment finally happened that we've been talking about for weeks, guys, and Kelly Clarkson broke the story.
This is Major.
And Champ.
This is Champ.
Uh-huh.
Come over and say hello to them.
Oh, I want to say hello.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Hey. Oh, no.
Can you come say hi?
A single story like that during the Trump administration.
No, these dogs, y'all.
Here's my pet chinchilla.
Trump didn't have no dogs, y'all.
Eric Von Hessler.
It's very real, and I love the banter.
Find the Von Hessler Doctrine podcast later today on the WSB radio app, sponsored by Reliable Heating and Air and ReliableAir.com.
Elton John. Makes life delightful. I gotta say, you know, after about 85 or 86, I'm not all that. But hey, it's maybe I haven't listened to a lot. Oh, no. He made that one with Leon Russell. That was a good album. That was a really good album. All right, we got a little bit of audio left here. I want to make sure we get to... I'll put the UFO thing second because I can't stand that stuff. This is one we've had laying around for a couple of weeks. And I don't know what... I can't even remember what the issue was, but this is... Some parish council, Hanforth, somewhere in the UK.
Yeah.
And it just gets out of hand because it's all on Zoom. So obviously there's some sort of power struggle going on this in this parish council. And I just find it hilarious. So just play it.
We'll start the meeting, and I want to repeat what I said at the beginning of the last meeting, that this meeting has not been called according to the law. The law has been broken.
It has been properly
called. Will you please let the chairman
speak? Please. If you disrupt this meeting, I will have to remove you from it.
You can't.
It's only the chairman who can remove people from a meeting. You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
She's just kicked him out. She's kicked him out. Don't. She's kicked him out. Don't.
This is a meeting called by two councillors.
Illegally.
They now elect a chairman.
No, they can't, because the vice chair's here. I take charge. Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them.
You understand? Read the orders.
My favourite part is you have no authority here, Jackie Weaver.
Jackie Weaver, you have no authority here.
Gentlemen, I've called this meeting.
I called it.
Illegally.
No, you're illegally saying that you called it. I called the meeting.
I will kick you out as well.
You have no standing. You are not even the secretary.
I was voted in.
Jackie Weaver, you're a liar. Not only are you a weaver, you're a lawyer, Jackie Weaver liar.
Bugger off, Martin.
Did you hear her? That's terrible language.
Mute his microphone if we can't.
You can't mute me.
She has no authority.
You have no authority, Jackie Weaver. Only the chairman can mute the chairman, and I'm the chairman, so shut up.
I've read the agreement between us all, and it's my duty to kick out anyone from the group.
I'd like to make a motion to ban Jenny. What's her name?
Jackie Weaver.
Jackie Weaver.
Please, sir.
From all further Zoom meetings.
All right. I would keep that audio around. I don't think we're done with that. But before we go, what is the. So CPAC. Is CPAC, right? That's this weekend.
Yeah, CPAC.
Which CPAC. My prediction is, so Trump speaks at the Conservative Political Action Committee convention thing on Sunday.
Correct.
And my prediction is he's bringing hammers and nails for the coffin of what was once the Republican Party. Because I'm looking around, I see no one with more power in the Republican Party than Trump. And I don't think he's going to show up and apologize for January 6th or anything like that. It's going to be straight on. And so the whole thing got started with a request. Hey, could you keep your mask on? And things got a little out of control. Not really out of control, but go ahead.
Everyone, when you're in the ballroom, when you're seated, you should still be wearing a mask. So if everybody can go ahead, work on that.
You have no authority, Jackie.
I know. It's not the most fun.
I shall do it.
You have the right.
Like a teacher came in and was like, now students.
You know? Boo, Jackie Weaver, boo.
You have no authority at CPAC.
You know, I don't know if we have enough time. Didn't McConnell make no sense? He condemned Donald Trump for being behind and instigating the January 6th siege on the Capitol. And on Fox News, he was like, well, would you support him in 2024 as a nominee? Absolutely. That makes no sense. Good.
If the president was the party's nominee, would you support him?
The nominee of the party? Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't care what he did on January 6th. That was then, this is now.
Oh, no. No, it just goes to show. I mean, he's a shrewd politician and everything, but Trump has really got them in a bind. He's still by far the most powerful figure in the Republican Party. And if he wants to run again, he probably will get the nomination. Now, you never know, because you don't know what else is out there, and you don't know some other politician could come in, and you don't know what kind of you don't know if he'll have it still in 4 years. But Republican Party is in a bind. They are not going to be able to walk away from Trump. Trump is going to have to let them go. So really, it's all up to Trump now. It's all up to Trump as to whether or not the Republican Party can move on or not. But hey, people can call in in 2025 and yell at me if I'm wrong. I do not believe that Trump can win national office ever again. I'm on the record, so if I'm wrong, you can call me up and call me an idiot. It won't be the first time it happened. Yes, Jared?
Hey, regardless, with Trump speaking on Sunday, man, Monday's show is going to be a Monday. Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun to hear.
Oh, he's going to. He hasn't had, boy. I can't imagine the things he's going to say about Romney and Liz
Cheney. Mitt Romney, the biggest rhino in history.
Will he go after his own vice president? That's going to be the real question.
Oh, so. I say yes. I'm taking your bet on that one.
Hey, Trumpers, loyalty test and purity test in politics. It always works out. Don't worry about it. Look at the left now. Look what they're doing. Just everybody join the idiot brigade. Left, right, and center. It's idiocracy now. Let's all just have some fun. I hope everybody enjoys this weekend. Have a good time. Be nice to yourselves. Be nice to your family. Be nice to your neighbors. Just have a good time. Enjoy yourselves. We'll be back on Monday morning, 9 a.m. You're all invited to join us. But until then, continue on your journey. For the time being, keep your social distance from the genie. Thanks for listening to the Von Hessler Doctrine podcast. Remember, you can hear the show every weekday from 9 to noon right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.